Awesome. Well, hey, it is so good to be with you this morning, and I'm so grateful that we can come together, we can be here. Even every time, when I take off this mask, there's a point where I'm like, whew, I can breathe. And we all feel that way, you know, we all feel that way. And yet, at the same time, I'm so thankful that we can come together. And as crazy as this world has been, as crazy as 2020 has been, we still have a God who's faithful. A God who honestly just allows us to breathe. Even through a mask, he still allows us to breathe. And so as we come this morning to Romans chapter 5, and again, you're welcome to grab your Bible, you're welcome to turn with me to Romans chapter 5 this morning. But as we come to this text, can we come with a certain level of thankfulness this morning? Can we come with a certain level of just thankfulness for the grace of God, for the mercy of God, for a God who is both just and a God who has justified us? We have a lot of reasons to be thankful for. And yeah, we can stare at these masks in our strange world we live in, or we can choose to be thankful for the God who has graciously allowed us even to wake up this morning and given us the breath that's able to breathe through a mask. And so perspective is a wonderful thing this morning, and I just want us to come with a certain level of understanding as we come to this text of who it is who is receiving these words in the book of Romans. And so Romans is obviously, it's not a secret, it's written to the church in Rome. This is a church that Paul had never been to before, so it's really just great theology. In fact, that's one of the main reasons why this book comes right after the book of Acts. So if you're looking at the Bible as a whole, in the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospels, we call them, they're the story of the life and ministry of Jesus. And it leads from his birth all the way up through to his death and then his resurrection. And then we have the book of Acts, which then we actually, the cool thing about Acts is we actually have an extension of the Gospels. We see Jesus at the beginning of Acts, and he's commissioning out his disciples, and the Holy Spirit comes to them, and we see their ministry of the disciples, and then we see the spread of the gospel throughout the world, of which now you and I are a part of. Then we get to the book of Romans, and so this is to the church of Rome, but some just great theology. It's the reason why the church fathers have wanted us to look at this text first. They want to make sure you don't miss this truth, because Paul really didn't want the Romans to miss out on the truth, because again, he had never been there. And so he wants to make sure, do you understand the truth? Do you understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus? All the while recognizing, again, this is a church in Rome that's going through a lot of persecution. A church that has gone through just so much suffering and just, quite frankly, just a whole lot of growth. And not necessarily growth in the easy way, but growth in a sense of dependence on Jesus. An amazing thing about the early church is that a lot of the early church started with Jews. And we think about how Jews were there when Jesus was crucified. We think about the disciples being Jews themselves. We don't really think about the Jews who were actually spread all throughout the world at this point. They call it the diaspora of the Jews, that they were in different cities already at that point. And so some of the first people that put their trust in Jesus, some of the first real missionaries and pioneers of our faith were Jews. And so it's very likely that a lot of the Romans were actually Jews who had converted to Christianity. They were already kind of anticipating a Messiah, so the worldview, the concept of Jesus as a Savior kind of made sense. So we probably have a lot of Jews that had become Christians in Rome. We also have probably a lot of Gentiles who had turned from their ways and had come to Jesus and had accepted the hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. So this is probably a mixed bag church of different people with different perspectives, yet this is the church of Rome. So these are people that are taking the gospel to their spheres of influence, just like we want to be grace beyond the walls. And so Paul is speaking to this church, but recognize this is a church, just like you and I are a church. A church that needs to be dependent on God, and a church that needs to recognize who it is who gives them the power and the authority to move and to live. So with that, if you've turned with me to Romans chapter 5, we're going to start off in verse 1. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I have a lot of favorites, so that doesn't mean a whole lot. But I do really enjoy this passage. So we're just going to go from verses 1 through verse 11 of chapter 5. Starting off in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might dare to die. Verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray. God, I'm so grateful that you let us in on this truth. You let us in on the whole gospel. Not just about our reconciliation in of itself, but the fact that we were enemies of you, God. You had every reason to turn your back on us, but you didn't. You were faithful in sending your son as you said you would do. And God, we're so grateful that as followers of Jesus, we can recognize your love for us. Lord, you demonstrated it so wonderfully on the cross for us. And Lord, as we come to this text this morning, I know we can come with our own just thoughts and ideas and feelings about what we're seeing in the world around us. But Lord, you've been so faithful to us. So Lord, I pray this morning as we think about some good truth from you, that we would come with that truth and that reality that we have so much to be thankful for. Most importantly, we are loved. So thank you, Jesus. Pray that you go before our service now. In your name, amen. Amen. And so as I look at this set this morning, I was actually excited. I talked with Donna Albright about whether we would leave up this set or not. And she was saying she was going to take it down. And I just thought it'd be great if we left this stuff up here. First of all, I want you to know there is still stuff going on in our church. God is working through us. It's amazing. It's really exciting. God is also working through us in creative ways. You can see some of our creativity. It's just really cool how we're able to create this VBS material that's going to go out. We're praying it goes out to both believing children and non-believing children. We're also praying that this material will go out to both believing and unbelieving families. I mean, how cool would it be if an unbelieving mother or father got this material and was playing it for their children and then accepted Jesus? So let's be praying for VBS. Let's be praying as this material is going out. And let's be just reminded that we are really being grace beyond the walls. We're taking this grace beyond ourselves to our spheres of influence. But all the while, as I've been thinking about this set, I've been thinking about trains. And we have a train literally a stone throw away from here, right where I'm standing. And I also live within a stone's throw of train tracks. And I had never lived by trains before. So I remember the first night that I moved to our new house. My wife and I moved. And I remember we were sleeping. And I woke up because our house was shaking. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Like, I don't know if I can live in this house. Because I'm just going to keep waking up. And I'm going to be shaking. And I'm going to just be wondering what is going on. Thank God after just a few nights I got used to it. Now, to be honest, I don't even feel the house shaking. God is gracious to me in that. But as I think about about the idea of trains, I got to say, when I've woken up in the morning, I don't say to myself, wow, that's a whole lot of metal moving down the tracks. Or I don't think to myself, wow, those are some big wheels that must be carrying that metal that's going down the tracks. Like, I don't think that way. When I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm my bed shaking and Amanda and I both wake up, I look at her and say, wow, that's a really heavy train. That's a really heavy train. And so as we come to this word justified this morning, therefore, since we have been justified, I want us to understand that this is a complete thought, like a complete idea. You have been justified. Just as we would look and we would, if you were sitting at the intersection and the train was going by, you would look and say as a complete thought, there is an entire train in front of me. And just in the same way, if you or I, as followers of Jesus, walk by, we can look at each other and say, there is a justified son or daughter of God. That's a complete thought. If you put your trust in Jesus, you are justified. You are completely and totally justified through Jesus. You are saved. You are a child of God. You are justified. It's a complete thought. And so as we come to this text, we look at verse 1, and again it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a part of what it means to be a child of God. Just like part of being a train is that it's going to have an engine. Part of being a train is that it's going to have wheels. Part of a train is going to have boxcars. Well, technically, sometimes I've found that just an engine is going by my house. But all the while, if we can take this for what it's worth, we can understand that the parts of a train make up what it is. And yet, in the same way, as followers of Jesus, if you put your trust in Him, you have peace with God. It's part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that you can experience His peace. But it also means that through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have gained access by faith into the grace of God. So we have peace. We have grace. We have experienced a totality of what it means to be children of God now. And yet, there is also a not yet, in that we are not fully with God right now. So we're experiencing being children of God. We are fully justified. We've gained the access into being with God. We've gained the peace of God, which is beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, beyond what the world can fathom. We have that peace. But there's also a not yet. And so you and I are feeling that not yet when we put on our masks. You and I are feeling the not yet when the world around us just feels like it is shaking. But let us be reminded, the church in Rome was feeling a lot of that same weight. I'm sure that there were other Jews that had not put their trust in Jesus in Rome who were saying, you guys got it all wrong. You guys got it all wrong. You're talking about this Jesus who was resurrected. You got it all wrong. They're just pushing at them and pushing at them to move away from Christ. I'm sure they had their own friends and those who were just doing what they wanted to do that were pushing on them and saying, you guys, just stop being with that weird group of people. Come with us. Come have fun with us. I'm sure there were lots of voices, just like you and I can hear different voices of God, where are you in the midst of this pandemic? But recognize this. Suffering does not mean that you are not justified. There's the train. All right. Suffering does not mean that you are not justified. Doesn't mean you don't have peace. Doesn't mean you don't have grace. It means you're suffering. And if we were just suffering in and of ourselves, that would be hard. In fact, later in another book, Paul states that if Jesus hasn't been resurrected, we of all people should be pitied. So if this was it in and of itself, then we would have a problem. But this isn't where Paul stops. What does he say about the suffering? Praise God. He says, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And so I just want to kind of walk through some of what this can look like for us. First of all, again, as we think of suffering, let's be reminded, in some ways, this is kind of like a train being on the tracks. You know, when I think about my times of travel, I was just actually in Pennsylvania with my wife. We had some great time away, and thanks for those of you who were praying for us. We got to just take a little break. But whenever we go home, we typically go through the roundabout in Kingston. And for those of you that have gone through the roundabout in Kingston, at least at some point, if you've gone through the roundabout during highly trafficked times, there can be a moment where you're like, Lord, am I going to make it? And as a rule follower, I got to tell you, so there are arrows at this roundabout. For those of you that have gone through the roundabout in Kingston, right at the entrance to the thruway, like, there are arrows. And as a rule follower, I follow the arrows. But the arrow says I'm supposed to be on the inside lane when I'm leaving. So that doesn't make any sense to me. So I follow the on the inside lane, and sometimes I'm watching cars on the outside lane, and they just keep going through. And so there's a moment where I'm like, Lord, I'm going to turn here, and let's see what happens. And praise God, to this point, I haven't gotten in an accident yet. And for those of us that have experienced that, we know that it can feel kind of anxious going through that roundabout, going through that time, because we just feel like we have to depend on others, and we feel like we have this control. But I want to encourage us to not think about our suffering like being in the Kingston roundabout. I want us to think again about us being on a train, going down the tracks. Because I don't typically find a train in the Kingston roundabout, right? You don't find a train on the thruway. You find a train on the tracks. And what's the train doing? It's going down the tracks. Like, I rarely worry about the fact that a train might come off the tracks or where it's going to go. I know that in some way the train is going down the tracks. And for you and I, as followers of Jesus, we have to recognize that because we've been justified, that complete thought, we can recognize that we have gained that access into the grace of God. We've gained that relationship with God. We can boast about that hope in God because we know where we are. There's a sense of security in our suffering. Because we don't necessarily know what it's going to be like in the midst of that suffering. In some ways, we might go off the tracks in the sense that we might even experience pain and death. That's something that this church in Rome would experience. But again, it doesn't mean they weren't justified. It just means they were suffering. Suffering with a purpose. Or dare I say, they were training for hope. Sorry, that's a really bad pun. But let's understand this again. Since we're on the tracks, we should probably know why we're on the tracks, and we should probably know where we're going. Because we're not just defined by the tracks, we're actually defined also by the destination. Because we see here, as it states in verse 2, because we've gained the grace of God, we've gained the access, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And when I think about this word hope, recognize, this is like a future concept. Like, later today, I'm hoping to get a nap. But if I was taking a nap, and I woke up and I said, you know, I'm hoping to take a nap, you know, that would be kind of weird because I just was taking a nap. Like, if I'm taking a nap in the midst of that, I wouldn't be hoping in the nap. And in the same way, if we put our trust in Jesus, if we have a future hope, we're recognizing, even as followers, again, this is now and not yet concept, there is a hope in God also that is yet to come, a future hope. And again, that future hope doesn't mean that we're not followers of Jesus. It just means we have something to look forward to. And we boast in that hope, in the glory of God. When we see that word glory, we can think of the majesty of God. We can think of the fame of God. We can think of the awesomeness of God. Because God is awesome. Because he's allowed us to gain access. He's the one who has declared us justified. And so we do go through sufferings. Amen. But the suffering is producing something. What's it really doing? In one sense, it's creating the possibility for perseverance. for us to persevere, for us to keep moving in faith and keep trusting in that grace that God has allowed us to gain access of. Like, we didn't just gain the grace of God and then that was it. Like, the grace of God is now being used. It's at work within us. The peace that we've been given, it's not just a peace that allows us just to sit on the beach and sit back and relax. It's a peace that allows us to lean into the suffering that we're experiencing, to keep moving forward. So we keep persevering in faith and trusting in God. What else do we do? As we persevere, we get what? Character. Character. And as I think about character, I think about just the wonderful reality that even in my suffering, like, I'm growing. You and I were growing, becoming more and more like Christ. Because quite frankly, in the midst of my struggles, when it's not coming easy, or when I don't get what I want, I recognize that I never really needed it. The only one that I really need is Jesus. Like, I need to be justified. You need to be justified. You need to experience the peace of God and the grace of God. Amen. But when I'm experiencing character, it's that I'm being refined. The things that aren't of God are being put away. And the trueness of what God is doing in my life begins to rise to the surface. And so I'm experiencing character. Character with a purpose. And so this character, what does it produce? It produces that hope that we're boasting about. So some of us were like, man, I just want that hope. I just want the hope of God. But as a church, we have to recognize we're going to go through these seasons of suffering. We're going to go through these moments of character building. In fact, quite frankly, we're going to continue to experience character building until we reach eternity when we're in the presence of our Savior. That now we've been justified, that now we've received the access of God. We have the relationship. It's wonderful. We're experiencing what it means to be in an eternal relationship with God. That is true. But we also hope in God because He's awesome. And let's look at some of this awesomeness of God in verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And we talk about this verse often at Grace. I've referenced this verse recently quite a bit. It's part of why I wanted to talk about this morning. But let's recognize, again, this is talking about a people that may be experiencing suffering, and a people that need to recognize that their suffering doesn't define them. Jesus is the one who defines them. So in the midst of your suffering, church in Rome, be reminded, you see, while you were still ungodly, before you could clean yourself up, Christ died for you. Christ died for you, as he says in verse 8. It's been given to us. So the awesomeness of God, in one sense, we can understand it's because of the love of God. It's because of the power that God has given us. And as I think about the power of God, I'm sorry, I'm sticking with this train analogy. We have this awesome train engine over here. And I often can see myself as the engine. I like to think of myself as the engine anyways. The engine is the one that powers the train. Like, I want to think that I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Like, I'm going to prove myself to God. I'm not the one that powers the train. You're not the one that powers the train of our lives. Because our lives are powered by what? Powered by God demonstrating His love for us by dying for us on the cross. Again, you need to be justified. You need to experience this grace of God because you can't power your life down the tracks of life. So if you're suffering right now and you've not put your trust in Jesus, recognize that your suffering, it's not going to produce what you want it to produce. Because all of humanity deals with the brokenness of sin. But praise God, part of being a follower of Jesus is that we just recognize that this brokenness is because of our sin. We just need to admit we're sinners. We need to admit that Christ died for our sins, that He paid for our sin in full on the cross. We need to put our trust in Jesus. So he's the one who is powering us down the tracks. So know where your power comes from. It comes from the one who died for you while you were powerless. So again, part of being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to suffer. It doesn't mean you're not going to feel powerless at times. But it means you're going to know the one who gives you the power. So know who you are. Just like a train. Well, I don't know if a train knows what it is, but we know what a train is. Know that you're a son of, or daughter of Jesus, of God. You've been justified by Jesus' death on the cross. Know where you are. You're on the tracks. And you're going somewhere. You're suffering. It's producing something. And know where you're going. Again, we can backtrack and we can look at that hope. We can think about that hope, but let's look at it now in light of verse 9. Verse 9 starts out, "Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" So again, Paul's not diminishing the pain, and he's not diminishing the problem. The problem is real. The brokenness that we experience in our world because of sin, that is real. And without Jesus' death on the cross, we cannot receive reconciliation with God. We are doomed to hell. We can't experience the peace that you and I crave and we just need when we're going through our suffering. But here he goes in verse 4. "For if while we were God's enemies, we were, again, reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" Again, if Christ had not raised from the dead, we'd be in a lot of trouble. If God had turned his back on us and not sent his son to pay for us our sins while we were his enemies, we would be in a lot of trouble. But he demonstrated his love for us. He desires reconciliation. He wants you to know that if you put your trust in Jesus, you can have this hope. You can know that you're on tracks, going down the tracks to a future hope and reconciliation, both present and future, with God. And he continues on from here. I'm just so encouraged by this. "Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So as you suffer, I want you to kind of have a plan in place. I want you to kind of know what it looks like for you to trust in God in the midst of your suffering. I want that training for hope, right? Like, we need to be prepared. Because when my life is out of control, those moments when I feel like I'm at the roundabout in Kingston, there are moments where it's like, "Whoo, Lord, where are we going?" Like, I just need to trust, and I need to have a plan in place of where I'm going. But if we recognize, again, this reconciliation that we've received, that we've been justified, we know who we are. You know who you are if you put your trust in Jesus. If we know where we are, that we are secure in Christ, even in the suffering, they can kill the body, but they cannot end the relationship of reconciliation that the God of the universe has given us. We're on the tracks. We're going down the tracks. So in the midst of your suffering, like, just saying, "Okay, God, what's going on here? What are you doing through this?" Like, he didn't cause the brokenness. The brokenness is our fault. It's the fault of sin globally. It's the fault of mankind, not just you and me, but unfortunately the sin of the whole world, which we are a part of. So when we experience the brokenness, to say, it's amazing that, "God, you're going to produce something through this broken world. You're going to create some character in my life. You're going to make me more like yourself." But all the while, focusing on that end, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So I'm suffering, just like Paul was suffering in prison with Silas, and he's in the Philippian jail, and he's freaking out. Or the people around him are like looking at him like they're crazy because they're freaking out in worship. They're not just like despairing about their situation. They're like, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Like they're worshiping God in the midst of this pain. The people are looking like, "What are you doing? But they're actually watching these Paul and Silas in prison, and they're watching them, and they're saying, something different here. All the while, Paul and Silas know they've been justified, as he said earlier, since we have gained access. He's including himself in this passage. Paul is. So he knows he's been justified. He knows he's secure. He's on the tracks. It's producing something in his life. The people are watching and they're going, what's going on here? And then there's an earthquake. The gates open up. This is Acts 16. And the people don't leave. Paul and Silas stay there. The jailer comes out and he looks at them and he thinks that they've escaped and he's going to kill himself. And Paul and Silas, they don't leave. And they shout out, don't kill yourself. We're here. That is a radical way of dealing with suffering. So if you're going to freak out in that midst of that pain, because we experience the pain, would you find yourself in a state of releasing in worship? when your foot gets slammed by the 2x4, when things don't go the way you want in at the hospital, when your son or daughter says something to you that's hurtful, or when your mother or father say something to you that is hurtful, because we live in a broken world. The suffering that we experience and the persecution that we can experience in life, and that persecution, quite frankly, is nothing like the Church of Rome. As we release that to God, let's release in worship, just like Paul. Let's know who we are. Let's know where we are, and let's know where we're going. We can boast in that hope. We can boast in the glory of God. God is taking us somewhere, Grace. He's taking you somewhere. So I hope you're encouraged. If you've not put your trust in Jesus, I would love to talk to you. You can email our office at graceoffice@graceforulster.org. Or you can just find me, if you can find me in these days of COVID-19. But let's be reminded, Grace, we've been justified with a purpose. Let's keep moving down the tracks. Let's see where Jesus will take us. Let's pray. God, I'm so thankful because we can boast in you. Very rarely will somebody die for a righteous person, but I was your enemy. But you made the way for reconciliation. God, help us to boast in you. Give us the grace, Lord. You've allowed us to gain that access into the grace, so I pray we'd receive that grace. Let's receive that hope. Let's trust in you. Please take us on your mission, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.